So the other day, I went to CVS. It was a normal day. It was like another day. I had a lot of things to do and thought I was just stopping in CVS for 2 minutes to pick up a card. Went into CVS, found a card, loved it. It was great, perfect for the occasion. Thinking I'm going right up to the checkout line to check out and keep going. I get up there and there's two people in front of me. I'm thinking, all right, okay. Well, people usually just go to CVS just to pick up one or two things. It shouldn't take too long. Little did I know that the lady at the front decided to do her whole week's shopping at CVS. Not only that, to make matters worse, she had a coupon for almost every item that she was purchasing. At that moment, I felt an anger rise up in me in the line. Outwardly, I'm like, okay. Inwardly, I'm like, come on, let's go. I have things to do, right? So we're there, and they see that the line's growing behind me, and they open up another line. I'm thinking, okay, here we go. Well, you always know that point, right, when you're at a line and you're thinking, do I commit to that line? Do I stay in this one? So I decide me and another gentleman go over to that one. And I'm thinking, all right, here we go. I'm going to get out of here so we can keep going on a day. So we get in that line. And the guy had some return that he had to figure out that was taking forever. And then the people on the other line were already done. And I'm like, I am fuming at this point. Maybe you guys have been there, right? Anyone's been in a line frustrated? Raise your hand. All right, we've all been there, right? Whether it's at Walmart, whether it's been at Redner's, whether it's CVS, we've all been there. We're in line, and maybe you've been driving also, and you're there, and you're going to go from point A to point B, and you don't think anything's going to stop you, and then all of a sudden, something stops you, and you're like, oh man, come on, I got to go, I got things to do. We've all been there. Maybe it's something a little more serious. Maybe it's something at home. Maybe it's something with your spouse, something they do constantly or they said offhandedly that caused your anger to flare up really quickly. Maybe it was something at your work with your boss or your coworker, something they said. They made inside of you just flare up and get angry. What's going on beneath the surface? What's going on deep inside of our hearts? And what does God's word have to say about that? We're continuing in a series of Proverbs, and we're going to be looking at a proverb this morning. If you have your Bibles, open up to Proverbs 14:29. If you don't have a Bible, you can grab one from the front pew there. If you're not really into Bibles, if you can open up your phone to your Bible app. If you don't have your Bible app, you can just go to the App Store, download YouVersion. Download YouVersion, like YouTube, just YouVersion, and you can download that quickly. And you can find Proverbs chapter 14, verse 29. And we're going to be camping out here for today's message. And if you're still turning there, just to remind us, we're in a series of Proverbs right now. And we've done some themed days here at Trinity. Last two Sundays, Mother's Day, Graduation Sunday. So this isn't disregarding Memorial Day. We just wanted to maybe get back into to Proverbs and see what Proverbs has to say. Save for us. So 14:29, let's read it together. Whoever is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who has a hasty temper exalts folly. Now to start, let's just break down a little bit the slow to anger. Slow to anger. A lot of us think that anger is sin. Anger in and of itself is not sin. Ephesians chapter 4, Paul says, to be slow, or to in your anger, do not sin. Okay? In your anger, do not sin. Anger is something that God has given us, that we're supposed to be angry at injustices in the world. That is the right understanding of anger, a righteous anger that God has given us, that when we look at human trafficking in the world, that should anger us, right? But a lot of times, anger becomes selfish. It becomes self-focused, becomes me-focused. And so a lot of times, anger comes up in sinful ways. We just want to make sure that we're on the same page with that. The anger in and of itself is not sin. Second, we want to clarify that slow to anger doesn't mean suppressing your anger. A lot of times we think anger is getting really angry, expressing it, cursing, flaring your hands, getting angry in the face, clenching your fist. Like, that's anger. But sometimes we get angry, and there's people that get angry really quickly, they shut down. And they give people the silent treatment. And that's how they express their anger. That they suppress it. And that is what is being talked about here. It's not just the outward expression. It's that inward, it's the inside of you that feels that rising up. And then what you do with that, and how it expresses itself, whether in expression or suppression, it's still that God's saying, be slow to that inward feeling of rising up in you. Be slow to that inside your heart. If we're not, if we find those times when we're not, whether it's at the store, whether it's driving your car, whether it's at work, whether it's home, those times when we have those flares up of anger, God's word says that we lack understanding. Okay, if we are slow to anger in every part of our life, we have great understanding. But those times where we flare up inside of us, we lack understanding. We lack understanding in what? And that is what we're going to be diving into this morning. What are we to grow our understanding in? We grow our understanding in ourselves and of God. We have a God that is a personal God, is relational. And we're going to dive into that. But there's another story, there's another version of life that sometimes creeps into Christianity and is pretty much every other story out there. That what we do is the most important thing. That what we do is the most important thing. That this is what it is. So that creeps in the sense of we want to do good things so that people like us. We want to do good things so that we're in good with God. We want to come to church to check that off the list. We want to pray because that's what we're supposed to do. We go to serve because we want to be good. That is the version of a life outside of an intimate relationship with Jesus. There is a version that says, when you envy, stop envying. When you lust, stop lusting. When you get angry, when you feel that rising up in you, stop getting angry. But there's another version. Another version, another story that we see on the imprints of Scripture, that we get to know about our God, and is an implication of the gospel, of the good news. That when Christ died for us, he knew everything about us, all the good, the bad, the depth of our brokenness. And he dies for us and says, you are already approved. You are already right in my eyes. Come before me just as you are. Get deeper into your heart issues, what's going on. And when we start to understand that, that we enter into a relationship with a God who knows us completely, more than any other person in the world, knows the depth of our heart, the depth of our mind, all of a sudden, this becomes that. That going to church isn't just going to church. He doesn't just want you to come to church. He wants you to be here. He wants you to want to be here. You should want to be here. If you don't want to be here, he doesn't want you just physically here. He wants your heart and mind here. He wants you coming to church to worship God, to fellowship with other believers. That is what he wants from us. When we do service trips, when we do mission trips, the world says we're just going to help people. That's all it is. This is the most important thing. But God says, this is really about relationships. It's about connecting with people when you go on these trips. It's about sharing the good news. It's about telling people about who I am, that I want to know their heart. That life on the surface is empty. That the things that we do are really just surface things. That when we sin, when we get jealous of someone, it's not just about jealousy. There's something else going on. It's really about that. That this is really about that. And that is one of the biggest implications of the gospel and one of the greatest joys and blessings of living a life in step with Jesus, of falling in love with Jesus, and being in step with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit shines a light into the depth and brokenness of our heart. We start realizing, wow, this isn't just about that. This is connected to this, and this is connected to how I was brought up, and this was connected to my church experience 10 years ago, and this was connected to that, and what you said triggered something so much deeper in me that's a part of my brokenness. Then we come to understand that sin is not just the things we do. The sinful nature, who we are as people, we need to understand and appreciate how twisted and broken we really are. For us to grow in our love for Christ's death on the cross for us. It's this cycle. The more depth and dark we see ourselves, the brighter of the light that shines from God. We see, wow, he died for that? Oh, Christ's life and his death and resurrection, the Holy Spirit coming to indwell in me, this is, wow, he wants that part of me down there to come up and me to deal with that? And because we have a relational God, one of the greatest joys is that we can have the freedom and be vulnerable to come before God and come before others and say, yeah, this was really about that. And anger is one of the biggest signs that we need to address something else in our life. When we feel that quick rising up of anger, it is a neon sign. Unresolved issues with myself and God. Unresolved issues with myself and God. That I need to get deeper in my self-understanding of my brokenness. I need to be okay with that, and I need to bring that to God. I need the Holy Spirit to shine that in my life and for me to know that I am already 100% loved by God, and I can bring that to him, and I can share that with my spouse, with my family, with my coworker, that I can have a vulnerable conversation. We can do that in a very real way only because of Jesus dying on the cross. We are studying the book of Proverbs to learn wisdom. In Jesus is wisdom beyond measure. And we want to get to know Jesus so we can grow in wisdom when it comes to understanding anger. So let's hear this story. The story of a guy named Jack. And this story is going to help us understand how anger is going to help us get deeper into some of the issues that we need to deal with God and we need to talk about with others. Jack was a pretty normal guy. He had a beautiful wife, great wife, caring, loving wife, two kids, middle-aged man, decent house, nice job. Nothing really in the world to be that upset about. They were getting ready for their family vacation, as they do every year. And in an effort to clean up their car before they leave, the wife goes to grab some of the junk and odds and ends from the center council. And all of a sudden, Jack snaps, "Leave that where it is!" Where'd that come from? All of a sudden, his wife Emily tenses up. The kids in the back who are laughing are now so quiet. There's a thick tension in the minivan. Not really a lot of words are spoken. And as they pull out of the driveway, there's still that tension in the air. Jack never apologizes, never says anything in his mind. He just wants that to kind of go away. He wasn't really sure where that came from, but he's not really that proud of it and just wants everyone to forget that happened. Slowly, the awkwardness and the tension resolve. But what was really going on? The world says, Jack just needs to stop being angry at his wife. He's a jerk. Stop doing that. Jesus, who died for his sins, knows all the unresolved issues beneath the surface. We want to expose them today. Because in the inner judge of Jack's mind, he compares himself to Emily, brokenness. According to the inner Jack, the inner judge of his mind, he makes more messes than he cleans up around the house. He isn't organized compared to his wife, and not nearly as patient and attentive with their children. When his inner judge makes those comparisons, Jack ends up feeling unworthy and not good enough. Brokenness. Now we're getting down to the deeper stuff that God wants to deal with in our life. Those feelings of unworthiness are painful wounds that fester in his mind. As much as he tries to push them away, the pressure and energy build up over time. So those small deposits of those flares of anger that he suppresses eventually comes out. And God wants to deal with that initial flare of what is going on in that moment. In Jack's perception, he feels hurt when he's around his wife in general. And she is busy taking care of the household and keeping things neat and clean when Jack is mostly taking care, mostly making comparisons in his mind. That's when he feels that pain. The assumption in Jack's belief system has associated pain being caused by his wife. He's not aware that the real cause of his emotional pain is the self-judgment. Okay, this is the twistedness of sin. A perfect life on the surface. The twistedness of sin starts working in our minds. He's not aware that that all causes his emotional pain based on the self-judgment made on comparisons. So in his belief, his self-image is a failure when compared to that of his wife, and it's hurting him. So Jack's belief system then is triggered when Emily, his wife, does something small like that. It's so much bigger. There's so much going on beneath the surface. So in his rejection, Jack pushes his wife away in his anger. So his expression of anger is pushing her away relationally. And it's obvious that Jack is not really angry at Emily, but is angry at himself and doesn't understand God. He needs to come to Jesus. He needs to bring that part. He needs to pray to the Holy Spirit. He needs to pray to God, the Holy Spirit, work in his life to understand that there are deeper things going on. He needs to have humility to understand that he is broken and that the depth of his brokenness go beyond what he can think of. And so there are layers that need to be unpacked. And it is almost a joy as a Christian, as a believer, to be able to get into this, because then you start realizing the depth of your redemption, the depth of your salvation. And just like this is really about that, anger is a secondary emotion which is caused by and hides deeper emotion. You'd be thinking here, oh, I don't need to get into this stuff. All this emotional stuff going on in my mind. I would pray and just ask that you be humble. Just to realize that we need people to talk to about this stuff. This is a very real expression of a Christian life, to be able to talk about the deeper stuff going on. So there are layers to this. What is one of the primary layers of emotion that gets hidden by anger? The biggest one is hurt. When you get hurt by someone, that leads to anger. What are the ways we experience hurt in our life? Okay, so we're going deep here, okay? So we started with anger. We're realizing, okay, anger is not just surface level. There's stuff beneath it. And this is all, and being okay with that is part of the Christian life. that really the next step beneath that of anger is feeling hurt. Okay, and we're taking the next step in seeing some of the things that cause hurt in our life, in relationships, with our spouse, with our family members, with coworkers. What are those things that cause hurt? And how can Jesus come into that? We experience hurt for over a couple reasons. We're going to name a couple here, and maybe some of these apply to you. You've been disregarded. Maybe you feel disregarded by your spouse, by a team at work. And because you feel disregarded, your voice wasn't heard, you are hurt. And that wants the anger wants to take control of that, take control of the hurt, and in a way, try to heal it. You feel unimportant. You can feel accused. Maybe someone accused you of doing something. You did that. You messed this up. You did that wrong. What do we try to do? We instantly try to defend ourselves. We feel hurt. We feel, oh wow, part of me has been attacked, wounded. I need to respond to that, and usually in anger. Feel guilty. Someone can feel that you're untrustworthy in a marriage, in your family, that they don't trust you with the family budget. They don't trust you with your philosophy of how to go about something. They don't trust you in different matters of life. And that hurts. That hurts. You feel devalued, rejected by someone. Maybe in a relationship, one of the strongest emotions that come out after rejection is anger. Maybe you feel powerless right now. And to unpack that CVS experience, right? We just look at that and say, oh yeah, it just happens to us, right? No, this is, God cares about our heart. He cares about those little things we think about in the day. Those small little flares up of anger that either we suppress or we express, he cares about that. So what was going on at CVS? I didn't understand a few things. I lacked understanding in thinking that I'm more important than I really am. I had things to go do. Why is this lady more important than me? I have to go do all these things today. I devalued her over me. I was number one in CVS. No one get in my way. How dare there's an accident on my way to work? How dare that someone just lost their loved one in an accident? I need to get to that meeting. How dare that guy's flying on the side of the road to get to CHOP because his sister's in critical condition? How dare he? I know what's going on in the world. I am king. Whatever else someone is doing is obviously wrong and idiotic. I am God. That is what we were saying. Those are the deep-seated things that happen in our heart. We need to grow in our understanding of the sovereignty of God. That maybe God was protecting me at CVS from a car accident or something that was going to happen because he had me wait. One time I was in line at a library and someone in front of me said something like, oh, sorry I'm late. And the girl behind the counter said, oh, no, you're right on time. Sovereignty of God. Do you trust God in the timing of things in your life? Those small things. How is your mind being drawn to Christ in those moments of flaring up? Because ultimately, deep down, we feel a loss of power over the situation. We feel like we've lost control. I was in control of CVS. Go in, grab the card, go up, do this. All of a sudden stopped me in the control of my life. I was powerless, and so I became angry. We desperately need to get deeper in our lives. We need to grow in our understanding of ourselves, the depth of our brokenness. We need to grow in our understanding of God. Then there's little flares up. There's little flare-ups. There's a lot to unpack. Where are you at right now with your spouse? Maybe this week, this past week, you had a flare-up of anger. And maybe that was shutting down, or maybe that was flaring out and expressing it. Part of the Christian life is not just focusing on the surface, but understanding that there's stuff deeper. What are those things that you need to talk about? Maybe they've been hanging in your marriage for years. Those passing thoughts you think while you're working around the house or when you just get up in the morning, and they start to take root. Because we believe in a God who already knows everything that we do, who wants to be in relationship with us, who died for our sins, everything we've done wrong, you have the permission and the joy of opening up to your spouse about the deeper things, because we have a God that already knows that and wants to be in relationship with us. So as two Christians being in a marriage, we should want to reflect that to our spouse. We want to be able to talk about everything going on in our heart. And that is a gospel-shaped life. The world says, just stop it. God says, I know what's going on. I know that you're angry because of something that happened 10 years ago that you've allowed to fester in your mind. I know. I know why you yelled at your wife. I know why you yelled at your husband. I know why you yelled at the kids. It had nothing to do with that. That you're hurting inside. There's something going on. This morning, I hope that you guys be able to draw closer to Jesus this week in a very real way. And in doing that, one, humbling yourself. Humbling yourself to realize, one, you're not the most important person in the world, and that you need to be able to open up and talk about these things. Second, reflect. Do some reflection. Do some heavy reflection this week on yourself and God and what Scripture says about us. Do some reflection. Journal. Write on your laptop. Write on your computer. Write stuff out. But do some self-reflection. And then when you get to those points where you realize, oh, that was really about that, talk about that with your spouse. Talk about that with your spouse. Get to the deeper issues that are going on. And lastly, maybe your spouse needs to be called out on it. Sometimes you realize, well, how do I know if I'm slow to anger? Maybe your spouse can help you out and realize, maybe when you're in the car, you kind of flare up a lot. You know, when it's around this time of night, you seem to get a little angry. What's going on? Do it in a loving way, not an accusing way, but one realizing that who you're talking to is someone else who's just hurt and needs the gospel in their life. So I hope this week something happens that you start feeling that anger come up and reflect. Reflect on what's going on. Reflect on Jesus, reflect on who you need to talk to, reflect on the deeper stuff, and be desperate for God's healing on your life. Pray harder for God to be able to heal those things going on in your life, those deeper seated issues. And when you start falling in love with Jesus and when you start going deeper in your relationship with God, you'll start finding out that the stuff you were worried about over here just starts going away. When you fixate on it, never goes away. When you start falling in love with Jesus and start falling in love with God and wanting to be in a relationship with Him and expressing that with other people, your life just starts to align. And that is the gospel. So this morning, I hope that we grew in wisdom And I pray that this week will be a challenging week and a week filled with fruitful conversations and growth.